Okay, the package is a package. When I put this together, you have it. It's the structure. It goes through just like we have been doing. That is, we've gone back to the Old Testament material to get an idea. I really believe when you understand Hebrews, to understand Hebrews 11, if you don't understand the Old Testament passages, you miss a pertinent part of the blessing when God says, by faith so-and-so did whatever. And so going to the Old Testament passages, we are driven to look at people and to look at their activities. You can see by my title and the outline and in the bulletin that I only have two heroes listed in the title and that I intended to try to squeeze in two verses instead of three. And so I left out Joseph. That's unfortunate. But we will definitely work on Joseph next week, Lord willing, in that matter. These three acts of faith, and let me go back and read those three verses again, just so we're reminded of where we are headed. It says, by faith, Isaac spoke well of Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Then it goes on and says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed, that is, spoke well of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Interesting verse. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Oh, that's kind of interesting. How many times do you give commandment concerning your bones? Well, we'll see that. It's kind of an interesting history. You know, what's fascinating to me about that is how long an interval there was. You know, you have probably 2 centuries, 200 years at least. When he made them promise to haul his bones off to Machpelah, out to Hebron, that area, gave them that commandment, and 200 years later, they're carrying this old boy that, you know, they had very little outside of oral revelation of what had done. Maybe there was some documentation from Egypt. But don't forget there was a pharaoh that came along a little later and forgot him. So it's kind of interesting. Anyway, I'm not preaching on that this morning. That's next week in that matter. But they fit together as a package. It's rather interesting because all three of these involve events of aged and dying individuals. When Isaac gave his blessing, or did spoke well, he was an old guy who was blind and had problems with feeling. He probably lived many years later, but he could not see. He could not recognize. His cataracts were really bad. Because he could not tell the difference. He still had his sense of smell because he could smell Esau and knew the difference between Esau and Jacob. But he comes along, and we're going to see that story is very interesting. So we have to dig a little around in that. But he is on the, I mean, look, his life has been well spent. Let's just put it that way. Now, we do know without a question when Israel spoke well of the sons of Joseph, that he was dying. And it's interesting, there's a mixture of two events that is mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews here with Jacob. And it's kind of, I mean, it's interesting, it's backwards in 21, in verse 21. His worshiping is from a previous chapter where Joseph himself goes. The next chapter, what happens? He brings his sons. And so it's kind of an interesting story the way it goes. And I've had a grand time playing with the text because there are some interesting textual problems. And there's a lot of war that goes on in that last clause because of some things that are done here. And it's fun to have the background. And then with Joseph, it says he's dying and he gave him a commandment. He outright commanded him. He had the right to do that. I always think about Joseph and those brothers. Remember his dream that got them all hostile? They were all bowing down to him. And he saw it, and they were so mad at him. The irony of it is, guess how many times that happened? Yeah, it happened two major times. When they found out it was Joseph, when they came to Egypt and that he was now a ruler in Egypt, they all were prostrate before him. They fell on their faces before their brother. They figure, whoops, it's going to be sayonara. That's the end of life for us. And then he kind of gave them some special privileges. We know that story. And then what happens? The dream comes through again when Father Israel died. And they're back on their faces again. They're really concerned now that he would kept them alive for his father. His father's dead, so they might as well join. They might as well join their father. They were afraid he was going to put them all to death. Didn't happen. He's still ruler in Egypt. And he still can give commands. And he gave a commandment. And that involved his bones. It's interesting what the promises involve, because we have to look at the Old Testament and try to figure out some of them. Some are clear, some aren't. Because in this first case with Isaac, he relates to things to come for two sons, to the future promises. And that's why I try not to read the King James or other translations to say bless, because he spoke well of, and you'll see why this morning, why I don't like to say bless in that verse. Yeah, bless is dominant in the passage, but we'll see a little bit about that. The double blessing of Joseph's seed. How many tribes of Israel are there? I mean, were there 12 or were there 13? That was a very interesting question. When they got into the land, you can count them. There are 13 tribes. 12 of them are landed. That is, they own land. The land is divided among them, and one tribe did not. That was the tribe of Levi. And they were unlanded. They were citified. That is, they had Levitical cities that were given to them without land in which to grow their crops. They were to be supported by the people. And the reason there are 13 is because of this double blessing that Jacob gave on his deathbed to the two sons of Joseph. You remember that story? We'll look at it when we get there. He's going to bless him. Joseph brought him. It didn't say Joseph brought him to receive a blessing of any kind, but he brought him. And it seems that Israel even had a little problem with recognizing these two grandsons. And so what happens, he's going to bless them, and he knows Ephraim, or Manasseh and Ephraim, let's do it in birth order. And so what happens, he can't see that well, and Joseph thinks that he is kind of a little senile in this thing, in this matter of blessing, and he puts his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. That is, he put his left hand on the firstborn, right hand on the one who was secondborn. And in other words, the right hand was considered to be the source of the primary blessing. And Joseph tried to switch him. He thought his father lost a cog. And his father said, no, I know what I'm doing. This is the way it's going to be. By faith. By faith. By faith. And so we will look at that. And then Joseph, his bones interned in the land. That's important enough to be mentioned four times altogether in scripture. And all these sarcophagus out. I don't know anything about his coffin or his ark. It was a container with bones. And they carried it out of the land of Egypt and through all the wilderness wanderings. And there it was a testimony to the faith in the promises God made to Abraham and his seed. Joseph's name is not mentioned when it comes to the reviewing of the promises of Jehovah made to Abraham, promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and to Israel or Jacob. Same promises were made to Joseph in the next to last chapter of Genesis. But he was in Egypt. He was not considered to be a part of the family because he had been raised in Egypt. And though he received the same, you'll not find a fourth name in that list, though he receives a double blessing in that matter. And so these acts of faith, let's evaluate them very overview quickly, and that is, there's future events concerning two guys, and these two guys' names were Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael and Isaac. There were things to come. There is a material provided for both of them, but one really comes from Abraham, and the other comes from Jehovah, which is interesting. And then this matter of the double blessing with the fact that there would be that double blessing. How many times do you see Ephraim used of the 10 tribes of Israel? You see it rather often. I mean, Ephraim is part of the 10 tribes. It was the largest landmass accumulated by one of the sons of Israel. The next largest was what? Manasseh. He was also of the 10 tribes. And Manasseh, it's interesting, you have East Manasseh and West Manasseh. Manasseh, the half tribe, was on the east side of the Jordan. Another part of the other half of the tribe was on the west side of the Jordan. And so these were dominant figures in their arrival in the land of Israel. And so we will see something about that with this double blessing to Joseph's seed. In that matter. And then, of course, the matter of the Exodus. I read Exodus because that's what it actually says of Joseph, when it said he made mention of the departing in the King James. The word departing is exodus, word Exodus. So when he talks about an Exodus, it made perfect sense. He knew they were leaving the land. He didn't know how. He didn't know they would be kind of almost forced out in spite of themselves. And so this was involved. And this progresses from the promises made to Abraham and the faith of these individuals in God's provision for them in this matter. And so it's what we learn in this section, and that's why it's fun to go back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in all three of these occasions, it doesn't say by faith. Hebrews says by faith. That it was by faith. But in any of those occasions, I mean, by faith, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it was there, but it doesn't say so. When Isaac spoke well of his two sons, he did it by faith. But if you knew how difficult it was for him to do what he did, remember the story? He fully 100% intended to bless Esau. And it didn't happen. And he was upset with the result. But he wasn't going to renege on what had already been done. And so Jacob got the blessing as well as the previous birthright in that matter. And so Jacob followed through, which is kind of interesting, with this idea of blessing. I'll say this now and we'll get there. Not once does it say that Isaac blessed Esau. Not one time. That's why I say well spoken of. We'll explain that when we get back to Genesis and looking at that very thing. And so as we look at this, you have by faith. By faith, he gave a blessing to a guy he didn't want to give it to. By faith, Isaac identified with the land, with the dirt, with dirt under your fingernails, as it were, an outdoorsman. He didn't identify with mama's boy. You realize that there was a rivalry, as it were, because he had preference for his oldest son, and his wife had preference for his younger twin. And so that preferential treatment became an exercise in chicanery. That is some not so honest thing. I mean, Jacob, how could he stand before his father and lie like he did? And he did. Are you Esau? I? That's me. Kind of funny in Hebrew, it's just an emphatic pronoun. It says, just I. It doesn't even say, here am I. It just says me in that matter. And that's what we'll be looking at as we move in. So these three individual acts of faith do overlap in interesting ways. To this point, we haven't had indications of acts of faith around the death of people. Whereas you do have one potential death because of age and infirmity, that is with Isaac, then the other two were on their deathbeds, essentially, that is with Jacob and with Joseph. And so it's kind of interesting. We've always had an ongoing discussion about deathbed conversions, quote unquote, on that. I believe it can happen. Because I believe that God can do anything he wants to do on that. And I believe that I've been involved where that has happened at least once. And I am absolutely convinced that that's what happened when someone was dying. And the response to the gospel was overrode what I would call religious superstitious awe when they said yes, yes, yes to Christ and his work in that matter. And so it's kind of interesting how faith can be exercised in these ways. Now, let's look at 11:20. It's not very complicated. It's just a couple of clauses here. He starts out by faith as he has. Isaac. Oh, we just talked about Isaac last week, didn't we? What do we know about Isaac? Isaac is a guy that doesn't seem to be predominant. There's not a lot of narrative in the New Testament or Old Testament concerning Isaac. If it wasn't for his birth, when Sarah was 90 and Abram was 100, if it wasn't for Genesis 22 and the offering of Isaac, And then, if it wasn't for the birth of these twins, we wouldn't know a lot about Isaac. Let me share something that's interesting to me. I need to do a little bit more work on it. But when it talks about the God of Abraham, or God of Isaac, you know, which is prominent? God of Isaac occurs more times than it does of Abraham. The Elohim, Isaac, really interesting to me, because it leads me into another whole realm of thought and working at why God would use that identity with Isaac. We don't have a record. I know what some people like to do with it, but I don't. And so, by faith, Isaac, it's interesting, when this act of faith, when he blessed his sons, we don't really know how old he was when this took place. What do we know about Isaac? Isaac didn't get married until he was 40 years old. Interesting. Let's go back to Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25. He didn't get married until he was 40 years old, until after Sarah had died. And so in Genesis chapter 25, it tells us, let's read verse 19 and 20. It says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian." 40 years old. And you go back in the context and you can see that Sarah died. He was married. Remember the last verse of chapter 24. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted in his mother's death. 40 years old. He's married. Now, we have to look a little bit further. He didn't have kids at 40. Let's look on down in this passage, we find out. Well, let's just kind of read it. I'm getting a little ahead of where I was intending to go. Let's read on. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Well, these women that these guys had problems, didn't they? Sarah, and here is Rebekah. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the sons struggled together within her. And she said, if you look at the AV, it's all italics. She's kind of a terribly uncomfortable mother. She's trying to figure out what is going on. She has never seen anybody experience what she was. She says, "If so be, why am I thus?" What's going on here? I have a real war going on in my abdomen. And something's going on. I think she was thinking that maybe she had a real problem. And well, she did in her way. And she went to inquire Jehovah. She went and sought out the Lord to find out. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger." Interesting promise. They're twins. Elder means the moment of birth. These are not identical twins. How do I know? "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in the womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and his name was Harry. Was Esau. when we were growing up, we had a friend who was just on the other side of puberty, was could hardly wait to get hair. You know, I mean, to grow hair. And so he'd go around and say, "I'm Harry Chester." And it was rather hilarious when I understood Harry Chester. It worked good at that point in life, but you know, when you're older, it doesn't make a bit of difference. And after that came his brother out. His hand took hold of Esau's heel. He comes, you have one twin out, and here, as he comes out, there's a little hand coming out there hanging onto his brother's heel. So the word Esau, Jacob, Yaakov, it has the idea of to follow at heel or to usurp. And so he had his hand on him, and his name was called Jacob, and the significance of what it is in his text. And Isaac was 60 years old when he bare them. She bare them. 60 years old. 20 years from his marriage until he had two children. So you can see it right here in the text. It's pretty clear. And they were totally different kinds of guys. When they grew, Esau was a hunter and the man of the field. Jacob, he was just a plain man, like hanging out in tents. Totally different. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Boy, how many times have I heard messages on that? You know, making preference of your children as to who you love and who gets, it's obvious, you know. I always smile when I think of that because I've heard that many, many times. Growing up, especially from pastors who would do special meetings in our church. So, Isaac, that's what we do know a little bit about Isaac. Oh, by the way, Isaac did die. But he died in Genesis 35:28 at age 180, at age 180. Now, so we don't know exactly dates when this speaking well of took place. We do know that Jacob fled to Haran, and has spent more than 20 years with Laban. So it had to be at least 150 years, probably. He was probably 150 years old. So let's go on to this next part of Hebrews 11. You can keep your Bibles around the corner there. The other, it says, by faith Isaac spoke well of Jacob and Esau. Spoke well is, there are two words for bless. One is makarios, and that means to make happy. The other one is to speak well, speak good. It's an EU in front of the word to speak. Spoke well. I refuse to translate that except in my slipping of my tongue. I'd rather just translate speak well because I know this passage in the Old Testament. And I've already told you why. And so he spoke well of his two sons. Notice the word order in Hebrews 11. The first one is Jacob, second one is Esau. He spoke well in this order of the second born, followed by the firstborn. And so he blessed Jacob instead of Esau. And we're going to go see that so we can get that picture. Now, if you're following at all in my notes, I have, I've had too many people, that's the problem working with this. I've got so many people in my head from reading this material. Isaac spoke well to Esau, but he did not bless him. So change that from Jacob to Esau. If you're looking at my notes, it's B3 under Roman 1. To Esau. He did speak well of him. Oh, what a painful experience. So Jacob was the second born of the sons. He received the blessing. He was a supplanter or cheater. He followed at heel, or overreached, to use terms that are used to describe this. Esau was the firstborn, but he did not receive the blessing. In fact, we'll see a little later that he got very frustrated. In fact, he said, not only did my brother steal my birthright, he took my blessing. Those really went together. Remember the story of the taking of the birthright? Esau was starving to death and Jacob cooked up a thing for him and gave it to him for his birthright. His birth order. God had already told Sarah that was going to happen, but it probably didn't have to happen that way. And so, I like that because that's a B outline. So Jacob lost his birthright and his blessing to Jacob. Concerning coming things, in Genesis 27, we'll be there because I'm going to jump to it, in two verses, just short, to the point, this blessing that Jacob received that was intended for Esau. We will look at it in 27. But then later he speaks well of Esau, but it's not really nice. He says, yeah, you're going to be a servant to your brother, but you're going to be strong enough someday and you'll break the bonds of that link you have to him. And so it's rather interesting. He speaks well, but he doesn't rescind or have any. So let's go to Genesis chapter 27. This involves a plot. Who is the one who contrived this plot? Was it our friend Jacob? No, it was Mama. And so what we have here is this plot that is contrived because Rebecca heard Isaac say, I'm going to bless you, go out and mix me up a stew and bring me what I love to eat, and I will eat it, and my soul will be satisfied, and I will bless you. That was his intention. And so as we come to 27, we have this beginnings of this blessing. And let me talk about blessing in 27. If you look down through this chapter, you'll see that the word bless occurs 22 times. It's found in a verb form 16 times. The other six are nouns. As an example, in verse 4, Esau tells Esau, make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. You see, there's a death thing here. He's limited. He has problems. I say, I really believe he had cataracts really bad. He could hear and understand. He could distinguish voices. We'll see that in here. But the word bless, that's the first occurrence of bless is in 27 and verse 4. He said, I may bless him. And we won't talk about the forms of the verbs or anything down through here. And so he wants to bless him. He's going to say the same. Rebecca listens in verse 6. And he heard him saying, bring me venison. Make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. In other words, Isaac thought he was going to die. So it was time to pass it on in this manner. He outlived that by a long shot, but still, Rebecca hears, and so what happens? I mean, with this thing of blessing. Now, if you go through here and I went and I've marked the nouns, I've marked the verbs down through here. And Esau pleads with his father after Isaac gave Jacob the blessing to give him a little bit of blessing. I mean, give him a little something. It says in the end of verse 36, he says, have you not reserved or set aside a blessing for me? And Isaac says, so solid, Charlie. No. And we'll see what he does say in verses 39 and 40. And so we end up with this problem. He promised to bless, Isaac promised to bless Esau. This meant that he would be the prominent person, and we'll see what the blessing does. In other words, Isaac intended for Esau to dominate his brother and to be the head of the house and to have his brother serve him as a slave, or almost. It's the word avad, which means to serve. And so he intended. So let's read in verse 5. Rachel heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring of it. So he was going to get some wild game. Then it says, Rebekah spoke to her son Jacob, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, your brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now says Rebekah, therefore my son, therefore my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. And that was Rebekah, I was right. Go now to the flock and fetch from there two good kids of the goats. So get two kids of the goats. Someone has said that venison and goats taste much alike and are similar meat. I don't know. I haven't tried goat meat that I know of in that matter. And I will make them savory meat for your father, such as he loves. Your mother will fix this so that he will be faked out. He will think it's the same thing that his other son does. And thou shalt bring it to your father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now she remembers that promise back when, I think, to some extent. She's not going to let the son that she loves do without the blessing as being the one who should be prominent over his brother. And we saw that back in chapter 25. And so she's going to make sure that it's done her way. And so what happens? And Jacob said, oh, we've got a case here. We got a problem. We are not identical, Mom. We are not at all alike. We can't, I mean, there's no way he can't distinguish between us. What does he say? Jacob said to Rebekah, behold, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. And I'm a smooth man. And Esau had to be a really hairy man. I mean, we'll see why. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I'll be caught in my act of deception. No, he didn't quite say it that way. And I will bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. So he's afraid that his father will curse him rather than bless him. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch me that. I'll take the curse of your father. You go right ahead. We'll figure this thing out. You just go get those two kids of the goat. And he went and he fetched and brought them to his mother, and she made a savory stew, much as his father loved, or such as his father loved. In other words, she probably used the same accompaniments, spices, veggies, whatever she put in it, and that Esau did. Only it wasn't venison, but it was goat. If it had been mutton, he probably could have told. But it was a goat. I mean, we understand that. And Rebekah took a goodly raiment, of the eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. He takes Esau's clothes and has Jacob wear them. These are the hunting clothes of her other son. These were the outdoors clothes. These are the clothes that have been out on the range as he went out and lived his outdoor life. They had the smell of that. And we know that's what she intended. And she puts the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Super glue. Somehow she attached him to his arms and his neck. So that means the hair was not exactly the shortest hair, though you probably couldn't curl it. But it was goat's hair. And so she puts this on him. Would have been beautiful to have had a picture of that, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? It must have been almost hilarious. We don't know the difference in the size of the boys or anything like that. And she gave the savory meat and the bread, which he had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So this is these are the events. So she took care of the stew for him. She took care of the hairiness for him. And she took care of the clothes for him. So she made sure that she had most of the grounds covered. There was only one she couldn't cover. And that was his voice. We'll see it. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Hineni, who are you, my son?" It's interesting. And Jacob said unto him, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that my soul may bless me. Thy soul may bless me." You see, there's our first bless. With this immediate experience, we've had bless in 4 and 7. So I'm here. I'm ready for that blessing. Come and eat. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it thou hast found it so quickly? How did you get this so fast? I mean, you weren't here that long ago. You had to go out and find a doe and buck and kill it and dress it and prepare it. How come you're so fast, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Uh-oh. How many lies can you make in it, in this matter? I mean, look at him, just in that one verse. What he says. Well, in those two verses, "I am Esau," lie number one. "Thy firstborn," lie number two. Where are we at here? Well, it's the other chicanery that goes with it. And so he uses that. Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my true son, Esau, or not." See, he had little sense and vision. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice. Kind of hard to change your voice. But the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, and he blessed him. So he blessed him, and he said, "Are you my very son Esau?" Another lie. "I am." Annie, I, me, that's me. I volunteer. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." Now, the word blessing is, has the idea this is something I'm giving you that is special beyond any others. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine and drink, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, kiss me, my son." He evidently still had some doubts. And so it says, "Kiss me, my son," and he came near and kissed him. And he, that is Isaac, smelled the smell of his clothes, his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. By faith, Isaac spoke well of his sons. By faith. But it's interesting, he got cheated, as it were, in what he intended. Therefore, here is the blessing. God give thee the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. An interesting blessing. You'd want that of all your kids. Let people serve thee as slaves. Let them be subservient to you. You be the dominant one, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over your brethren. Brethren? Yeah. Be Lord over Jacob. In that matter. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. He's only got one other son. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses you. That was a blessing. End of story. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made an end of his blessing of Jacob, and Jacob was barely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also made a savory meat, and he brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Whoops. What's going on? I can just imagine how confused Isaac was. He got a sense that something wasn't right in this matter. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who are you? Who are you? Notice there's an italics R. Who are you? And he said, I, thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Now, here we hit the big verse. It strikes Isaac as to what had happened, and he is rather upset. It says, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? This thing of trembling very exceedingly is trembled with great trembling greatly. If you want to retranslate that. Trembling with great trembling greatly. I could read it from you in Hebrew, but it's super strong. He was all shook up. Totally shook up. And he says, where is he that hath taken the venison, brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, and he will be blessed. When he says he will be blessed, he moves to a participle, and he says he will continually be the one who has the mark of blessing, because I blessed him. He changes. The word bless in Hebrew is usually in one form. It's usually an emphatic form. And here he goes to just a simple passive participle, and he will be blessed. And it was a shock. He was totally unhappy. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. He joined his father in being upset. And again, the Hebrew is even stronger. He cries out just in total bitterness, I have been cheated. And he said, Father, bless me, even me also, O my father. You already blessed, and he knows who. It's kind of interesting. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, by chicanery. Why do I like chicanery? My dad used to use that, I guess. Sounds like a student. Always reminded what his dad used to say. And has taken away thy blessing. So Isaac says, yes, Don't forget, he spoke well by faith. He believed that he had the right guy and he had the wrong one. And the one of his preference was the one that did not get the blessing. But he did it by faith. I know it because I can read Hebrews. Because things to come involve permanent relationships between Jacob and his brother. Then verse 36. And he, that is Esau, said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved? Have you not set apart? Have you not laid aside a blessing for me? How could he do that? If he'd have laid aside a blessing for somebody, he would have had to have laid it aside for Jacob, but that was mama's boy. That wasn't his best guy. And so he didn't lay aside any kind of blessing for another brother, for the other twin. He hadn't done that. And it's interesting, that word is translated in the AV, reserve. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord, your Adonai, your master. And all of his brethren have I given to him for servants, for slaves. That's our word, Eved. And with corn and with grain and wine have I sustained him. And this word sustained has the idea of filled, brought to the full. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? I gave him the whole blessing. What does Esau say? Esau said unto his father, have you but one blessing? Just one blessing for me? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted his voice and he wept. He wept. And so what is given in response is not a blessing, but it's well, speaking well, but it's not very well for Esau. And here's what Esau's well-spoken of part. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, or of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above. You're an outdoorsman. You're going to continue to behave in that way. And by the sword shalt thou live, and you will serve as a slave your brother. You're going to continue to be an outdoorsman. And you're going to be subsist by violence, as it were, by the sword. And it shall come to pass, thou shalt have, when you will have the dominion. It's interesting that Esau would understand there would be a day where he would have a role leading his family. That thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck. That's the best he could say. Those were good, were the best words he could say after the blessing had been delivered. In other words, you're going to struggle. You're not being blessed, but you will be able to break the yoke. Now we know the rest of the story, don't we? And it begins shortly down in this passage because Rebekah hears and says, you better go to see Laban because he's going to kill you. Why is that? Because of verse 41, Esau hated Jacob. And this, the idea of his hatred of Jacob is referred to in other places because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother. As long as my father is alive, I won't kill him. but as soon as he's dead, I will kill him. He doesn't realize there are a lot of years yet. At least, I mean, just on the very, very short, and I don't even believe it's close, at least 21 years. He can hardly wait to kill his brother. And these words of Esau, the elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and sent unto him and said, Behold, your brother Esau has touching thee, doth comfort himself to kill you. You want to make him be comfortable, that's what's going to happen. He said, Go, get out of here. And so, he is sent by his mother, another lie, interestingly enough. She sent him to Laban's house and tells Isaac the reason that she is sending him to Laban's house is because she says, I'm weary of my life, verse 46, because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife from the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good will my life do for me? Let's send him off to my brother and get him a wife. And so Isaac was suckered by her story. It wasn't so that he could flee and keep his life. What did it say? Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, Take thou a wife not of the daughters of Canaan. And El Shaddai will bless thee in verse 3 and give thee the blessing of Abraham. Is really interesting. And then when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and went and sent him away, he was not happy, and so what did he do? He made sure that he got a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And you can see that. Well, he didn't go to Canaan. He went to Ishmael. Look in verse 9. Went to Ishmael and found a daughter or a wife. Okay. By faith. Ooh. That didn't sound like a lot of faith, did it? But it does say, God says, that when Isaac spoke well of these two sons, that it was by faith. He believed that God was going to provide the blessing to the one he blessed, even though it was the wrong one from his point of view. By faith, concerning things to come. Future, and future involves the inheritance, and you have the hint in 28 that this involved the blessing of that was given to Abraham. He anticipated that by faith. By faith, when he spoke well to Esau, what does it say? By faith, he spoke well to Esau. And when he did, he said, yeah, there's going to be a way out. Somehow, he didn't realize it'd be an interval of years in that matter. And so you can see, I told you we were not going to get through. I had to determine where I was going to break it out. But the worst part is the next section is equally a problem. That is, when we get to the blessing of Ephraim and Manasseh, there's a lot of historical backdrop, but that's by faith as well. And so the future, the events that were coming, and it's a very simple statement in Hebrews 11, it says it was by faith. And God saw that faith that was behind his ill-intentioned plans. He didn't believe what Rebekah had told him concerning the second born, I'm sure. He showed prejudice. And yet God said he did it by faith. And by faith he could not rescind or repeal the blessing. By faith, rather, he spoke well concerning Esau and said, yeah, there's hope for you somewhere down the road in the future. It's an interesting problem, child. Well, next week we will come back and talk about Jacob. And there it says he's dying. Now remember, in this case, Jacob is going to die very shortly when we get to this, because we're right at the end of Genesis in 48 in that matter. So bring the outline next week, and I won't try to rerun it. And we'll try to keep the introduction short and get two verses out in that. So it's really interesting. But by faith, he believed that God had something for his seed, but he picked the wrong seed, and in the end he had to overrule. And he understood it by faith. And so he spoke well. You can see why I didn't want to say blessed back there. But the same word occurs this next time in relationship to Joseph and his son. Father, we're grateful today for your word. What an interesting illustration. That a man by faith, blind to the reality of it all, suspicious, yet makes that commitment a blessing to his second son. And stands by that blessing because he believed it was what you wanted. Thank you for this interesting information. And out of your word, may you bless us as we think on these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.